Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is Episode 6, Season 1 of the Autodidactic Podcast. Today, I will cover the topic of memorization. Now, last week, I said I would be covering study methods and mnemonics, but I'm going to focus on mnemonics this week, since it's quite a big topic. I'd also like to say thank you to a listener, Janice, who requested that I do the show dedicated to mnemonics and memorization. Now, many years ago, I read a study that suggested engineers who graduated with a bachelor's degree in engineering would have all of their memory outdated in only 10 years. So all the knowledge that they'd gained in university would be superseded within the next 10 years with new information, new techniques, and new materials. And information has grown at such a huge rate in modern times that if you're not studying every day, then you're not just standing still, you're probably going backwards. So this is one of the primary reasons that I believe everyone should study daily and strive to become autodidactic. In addition to the request from our listener, I've put mnemonic tricks ahead of real study methods. But firstly, these aren't tricks. These are methods known to work and proven to work over hundreds of years, and in some cases even centuries. Now, rote memorization gets a bad rap nowadays, but it can come in very handy. And there are some things which you have to just memorize. There is no other way to learn it. So for example, you might want to remember formulas off the top of your head. Or if you're learning a foreign language, you want help with various memorization for vocabulary items, for example. Or if you're learning some mechanical process that requires you to remember all of the sizes of adapter assemblies, and they come in various sizes from 13 millimeters to 110 millimeters, you could use some of the techniques we're going to discuss today to remember all of those types of things. So let's get into it. Today we're going to talk about mnemonics and techniques. Mnemonics is a word derived from an old Greek goddess of memory. And the systems we're going to talk about today are not new. For example, the system of Loci dates back to 500 BC. Mnemonics refer to a technique to improve memory, and they can either be visual or verbal. They normally add something to the information which is to be memorized in order to make it more memorable. And that's why many researchers and scientists who research memory call them elaborations. The first of the basic memorization techniques we're going to talk about is rhyming. You probably are familiar with a rhyme that begins, 30 days hath September. And if you're anything like me, you'll probably think, 30 days has September and all the rest I don't remember. So this is an example of using a verbal technique to elaborate the memory. But remembering the months and the number of days in it can also be done with a visual technique. So if you were to hold your hands out in front of you and make fists, the knuckles on your little finger represent January, and the valley between that knuckle and the next knuckle is February, and so on and so on and so on. So this means that all of the knuckle months have 31 days, and the rest are all short months. So this is a visual technique you can use to remember the length of the month. Today I'm going to cover a number of mnemonic systems, both visual and verbal. The first two are really easy and straightforward, and the remainder require some upfront learning, potentially, and can take some preparation before you can begin to use them. But the first two we're going to discuss are easy and anyone can use them, and they don't require any prior knowledge or ability or any sort of system. And the first one is to simply create a word using the initial letters of the thing that you want to remember. This is called an acronym. And you may or may not know that LASER stands for Light Amplification by Stimulated Emission of Radiation. or that you can use the word homes to describe the Great Lakes of the United States. Homes will give you a memory prompt for the names: Lake Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, and Superior. And there's also Roy G. Biv, which is a prompt for all of the colors of the rainbow. Now, you can use this type of mnemonic very easily. You just have to have the information and organize it in a way that becomes a word. And when you do this, you may come across a couple of issues. The first issue is that if you need to learn it in order, it might not be the best way to do it, because unless it accidentally becomes a word, you cannot rearrange the letters because you need to learn it in order. But if you can rearrange the information, you can rearrange it into a word. The second problem that you might have is that there isn't a sufficient amount of words that are long enough to encode all of the information you want. So although there are quite a few long words, you may not have a word which can encode all of the information you want. So if you run into these types of problems, you can use another technique where you use a sentence instead of a word. And these types of memory prompts are called acrostics. And an acrostic is used when you make a sentence using the first letter of the words that you wish to recall. So sentence systems like this are generally taught in school. And you may remember one which I learned when I was in school, which was, "My very excited mother just served us new potatoes." Which was to help you remember the planets of the solar system by replacing the first letter of each word in this sentence with the appropriate planet name. Of course, now that scientists have demoted Pluto from being a planet, you'll have to learn a different sentence to memorize the planets in order from the sun. But both acronyms and acrostic sentences are a great way to remember information. But if you want to remember something like pi to 50 decimal places, or countries and capitals, or a lot of related or ordered information, then some of the next few techniques are probably going to be more useful for you. But some require some upfront work. The first system I'm going to discuss is pretty simple and easy to use. It's called the link, or sometimes some people call it the chain system. And here you simply link concepts or things together two at a time. For example, if you needed to remember a list of five things, such as doctor, car, candle, rose, and ball, then you would chain them together by first imagining a car riding on a doctor's back. Images which are unusual or out of the ordinary are more easily remembered. So this is why you would remember the car riding the doctor rather than the doctor in the car. And then you imagine the car covered in hundreds of burning candles moving slowly forward so as not to blow out the candles. Movement in visual images are also helpful to remember. And then you're imagining a rose bush growing out of a candle, or perhaps a candle holder with a burning rose instead of a candle. And then you can link a rose and a ball by perhaps a rose bush playing soccer, or two people playing catch with a rose instead of a ball. And so you've linked all of these words together. An improvement on this technique is called the story. And here, instead of linking the items to each other, you just tell a story that includes all of the items. So for example, the doctor was jumping up and down screaming because he had lost the keys to his car. So he made a key from wax using a candle he had in his pocket, and he managed to drive to the rose garden where he began to operate on a giant plastic ball. Now, these two systems are easy to use and very useful, the link and the story. However, people often struggle to remember more than 20 items when you use these methods. And this is normally because of the limitation of remembering each item based on its association with a previous item. Now, a system that doesn't have this limitation of association, and which I mentioned earlier, is from 500 BC and is called the Loci system. The Loci is the plural of locus, and it means places or locations. This system requires some pre-learning for you to use it, but it's not a lot of issue to learn. The first step is to learn a set of locations in order. Now, normally, you would just do something that you are extremely familiar with, such as your own house. So it won't take you long to remember these loci, because you are already familiar with this environment. So it's not something that you're going to have to relearn. And then the second step is to simply set down the thing you're trying to remember in the place as you move through your loci. So you create your loci, or memory palace, as they're sometimes called, and you start with something familiar. Now, in this example, we're going to use your home. So imagine yourself approaching your own house, and the first locus, or loci, will be your front door. Inside, you walk in and you see a hallway, which is your next one. The next room is perhaps your kitchen, which will be another loci, and then perhaps a bedroom or a living room. And you just imagine yourself going through the journey through your house, room by room, and always going in the same direction. Now, as you take your mental walk through your house, you can start putting different things in the rooms. And then when you want to remember them, you simply walk through the house again in the same order, which you always do, and remember the things that you had put down. You might think to yourself, well, I don't have enough rooms to remember everything you need, but the loci doesn't have to be just the room. For example, if one of the loci was the living room, you could also include the sofa, the chair, the lamp, the bookshelf in the corner, which turns the living room into 5 loci instead of 1. And if you include the floor, the ceiling, and the 4 walls, then you've got a dozen loci for a single room in your house. Now, in addition, you can have as many of these loci journeys or memory palaces as you like. The loci system allows you to remember things in order, starting with the first locus and carrying it your way through your entire journey. Another way to explain the loci system is to put a story, to expand the loci system, is to put a story in the locus where the story or link method will happen. So, in other words, if you went into your living room, you may do a story about 10 items, which will mean that one loci will contain 10 items. So this will increase the amount of information density that you can store in one place. One of the disadvantages of the loci system, it is difficult to jump to a certain point on the list which you've memorized. And typically, if you want to jump something in place 11, you'll probably wind up starting at number 1 and counting until you get to the thing that you left in place 11. Now, the next method we're going to talk about works around that limitation. It's called the PEG system. The PEG system can be traced back to a fellow named Henry Herdson, who developed it in the 1600s. The PEG system uses objects to represent numbers, and then you hang your information on these objects, which are called PEGs. The number uses rhyming to encode the numbers as objects. So 1, bun, 2, shoe, 3, tree, 4, door, 5, hive, 6, sticks, 7, heaven, 8, gate, 9, wine, 10, hen. And you probably heard some of these before. When you were a kid, 1, 2, buckle my shoe, 3, 4, close the door. So now if we go back to our previous example, we would take the doctor eating a giant bun, a car with shoes instead of wheels, a tree made from a candle, a rose growing out of a door, and little tiny soccer balls flying in and out of a beehive. So this would allow us to jump straight to number 4, door, which has a rose growing out of it. So this allows us to peg the information to a specific number and jump directly to it. One of the drawbacks of this system is finding rhyming words for numbers above 10. And it's for this reason that another system was developed called the major system. And the major system associates consonants with numbers 0 through 9, and then you build words based on the consonants. So 0 is represented by S, Z, or soft C, 1 is a T or a D, 2 is an N, 3 is M, 4 is R, 5 is L, 6 is SH, CH, J, G, or ZH, 7 is K, hard C, hard G, hard CH, a Q or a QU, and 8 is an F or a V, and 9 is a P or a B. Now, you'll have to memorize this list, but once you do that, you can use it to build words for numbers. So, for example, the number 123 might be represented by the word denim, because it contains the letters D, N, and M inside the word as its consonants, and you know that D is 1, N is 2, and M is 3. Now, many people recommend generating fixed images and words to represent 0 to 100 so that you already know them and you're not trying to create these things on the fly. Another method for larger numbers is called the Dominic method, and it's similar to the major system. This was invented by 8-times memory champion Dominic O'Brien. It's a what they call a person-action system, where you memorize the numbers 0 to 100, where each number is represented by a person, and each person has an associated action. So in the Dominic method, 0 to 9 are represented by O, A, B, C, D, E, S, G, H, and N. So the number 15 would be AE, and this might be Albert Einstein, and his action is to write E equals MC squared on a blackboard. Now, I've used this system and a memory palace to memorize pi to 50 decimal points. So the first few decimals of pi are 3.1415.7265. And for me, this is 3 pies standing outside my front door, and then Arthur Dent writing on a blackboard, which is 3 is the 3 pies, and I know it's pi that I'm remembering because it's pies at the door. Arthur Dent is A4, and he's writing on a blackboard, which is the action for Albert Einstein, 15. In the next room is Napoleon Bonaparte, who's playing with a train set. Napoleon Bonaparte is 7-2. The person at 65 plays with a train set. And I can go on and on and on, up until 50. I've also been recently using this system and memory palaces to try and memorize a French dictionary. So I have a very small French dictionary in the back of a textbook, which is only 50 pages. And I'm going to try and memorize the whole thing using this method. So I've already used this to memorize 7 pages with about 50 words per page. So 350 words, which includes the IPA pronunciation, the spelling, and the translations for all of these words. And I generally test myself every couple of days, and I almost always get 80 or 90%, and most of the problems I have are spelling with accent marks and things. Now, for a lot of people, these sorts of things are tricks, and you're not supposed to use them to learn. But a lot of people have been using these tricks to remember things for years, even centuries, and they've used them to remember things from the Great Lakes to their own speeches. So they do work. But, like anything, you may have to put some work into them. Now, if you're interested in finding out more about these techniques and other techniques, then I recommend that you go to a place called The Art of Memory. It's a forum on the internet, and I'll put a link in the show notes, or you can just Google for The Art of Memory. But you can download their free book and look at the various discussions they have about the pros and cons of each technique. Well, that's it for me this week. Next week, we'll definitely cover study methods, which aren't using mnemonics, but are still systems that you can use to learn and use methodically and intentionally to study your chosen subject. Okay, thanks for listening, and as always, if you have any feedback, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at rick@autodidactic.info.
Thank you for listening to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving a donation via PayPal. Thank you very much, and see you again next time.